craven eyes had fixed on him, met his full on, and tried to fathom his intent. There was Old Tech here. Old Tech related to secret government projects of the past. And maybe there was something that would link this Ville to the main body of the Illuminated Ones, and the place in the north they were searching for. The first intimation that they may be in for a rocky ride came later that night, when Harvey and Downey led them, at Alien's behest, to the quarters where they would sleep while they were staying in Raw. The Baron had assumed they would stay, with an open-ended invitation that could be construed as either friendly or a threat. There was a possibility that he had no intention of letting them leave. Once they were alone in the comfortable quarters, they discussed what they had seen. Christie's feeling that she had encountered another mutie with seeing power was echoed by the unease felt by both Doc and Mildred. And when Dean told them of what he had seen at the furnace, Mildred was quick to add this to the way Jenna had dismissively talked to her of being black. It seemed certain that the real problem would be Jenna rather than Alien. How much did the Baron's wife sway him, and how much of the loyalty of the Sec Force belonged to her rather than her husband? Doc shook his head and caused his mane of white hair to cloud his features.
If there is Old Tech from the White Coats, and she has her hands on it, then I shudder to think.
Play along for now. Find out the real score, then get the hell out.
It's the only way. Besides, I don't see as we have other options at the moment. Until we know the layout here, we can't break for it. And they're not putting us under immediate danger. If they felt like that, then we would have bought the farm by now.
That woman, though.
Jack was pacing the floor.
Closed in. Feel like I'm trapped here. Nowhere to run.
Now you feel, Jack. But that's why we need to bide our time. Maybe scout around.
Maybe.
Although there was no visible differentiation between day and night this far below ground, there did appear to be some consensus on what constituted day and night, as it wasn't too long before the tunnels and basements that comprised the Ville subsided into a silence broken only by those whose tasks kept them working through the night. The companions had fallen asleep, the rigors of the past 24 hours having taken their toll. Ryan and Christie were entwined beneath blankets, and Mildred and J.B. also slept close together. Doc was mumbling in his sleep, whimpering and turning in a turmoil of nightmare. But at least he was sleeping. Dean wasn't. Not any longer. A gentle rustling, a soft padded footfall, was enough to wake the light-sleeping youth. Dean didn't move. If this was an intruder, then the young Carter wouldn't give himself away. He allowed his eyes to adjust to the poor light, letting darkness form substance and shape until the features became recognizable.
Jack?
Quiet.
Dean silently and swiftly rose from his bed.
What are you doing?
Dean's eyes adjusted to the dark, and the pale face and white hair of Jack Lauren were almost incandescent in the lack of proper light. With his dark camo clothing, it seemed as though Jack were nothing more than a disembodied head.
Take a look around. Safer then.
Jack's eyes were as sharp and red as twin fires in the ice of his face. His scarred visage was expressionless.
Think we've got something to fear?
Jack shrugged, but his eyes told another tale.
Me too. You want to go on your own?
Jack nodded.
This time.
Jack knew that he would be quicker, quieter, and safer without the less experienced youth, but he would never say so. However, for all his exuberance, Dean knew his own limitations in some areas, and so just assented and returned to his bed.
Be careful. I know, I don't have to say it.
But Jack was already gone. Raw stank worse than any other Ville that Jack had seen since leaving the bayous. It was partly a stale, old smell left over from the pre-dark days, when parts of the Ville had been old sewer tunnels for Seattle. The ingrained ordure in the brick and concrete had survived the new cost, and would probably survive the end of the rest of the world. Jack's sensitive nose was clogged by this smell above all others, and he just figured that the inhabitants of the Ville were used to it. There were other elements to the smell. Sweat and blood, urine and feces, birth and death. All were collected together, with no real outlet. On top of that, the smell of cordite, of the grease used to keep blasters in working order, the sickly, sweet smell of the dyes used on cloth, the tannery and the blacksmith, old food and rotten vegetable matter, and something else. It was a smell that Jack recognized all too well. the sweet and sour smell of human flesh, roasted and charred. That had to come from the furnaces, from the disposal of the dead children that they had helped return to the Ville. And yet, Jack was puzzled. If the furnaces had a proper outlet for their smoke, as they surely had to if the Ville wasn't to be permanently smoked out, then why did this smell linger so long? The other smells staying around he could figure. The air was fresh, if not clean, so there had to be some ventilation shafts down here. But the furnace needed to have had a direct outlet built for it. So why the smell? More than that, it didn't have the other elements that Jack would expect. There was no wood smoke mingled with it, and he remembered Dean telling them briefly that the furnace was wood-fired. There had been something else the young carter had wanted to say, but he'd held his tongue. Jack was naturally suspicious and cautious. It was why he was still alive after the things he had seen and experienced. It was why he was here now, and not some pile of bleached bones picked clean by scavengers. It was why every nerve and fiber in his body was screaming at him that there was something very wrong in the Ville of Raw. This feeling, mixed with the claustrophobia he was beginning to feel beneath the ground, had driven him out to explore the tunnel system that comprised the Ville. He wanted to know how the Ville was constructed, and get advance notice of any little surprises that Baron Alien may have waiting for them. Not that he distrusted the Baron that much. There were no alarms ringing in his brain when he saw him. His wife, though, was another matter. Jack was used to redoubts. Raw was different. As a patchwork of cellars and basements, service tunnels and railways and sewers, it worked as a winding and labyrinthine construction of tunnels and rooms, some spacious but most constricted. Narrow so that you couldn't go more than two abreast, or low so that you had to stoop. They were connected by makeshift shafts and stairways that had been hacked out at strange angles. Sometimes it seemed that you were going back on yourself when you were still going forward. There were sharp angles and blind corners, niches where ambushers could hide, and great stretches where there was no cover. And there was little light. This was perhaps less of a problem for Jack than for the others. His eyes were sensitive to light, and he could register the lower levels much better than any of his companions. Even so, in places it was still too dark for him to feel that he could proceed without the utmost caution. It was quiet now. Most of the inhabitants of Roll were asleep. He passed curtained-off partitions where the sounds of snoring and deep breathing could be heard. Once he paused as he heard the sounds of moving bodies. He continued on only when he realized it was a couple taking the rare opportunity to make love, the woman's small cries reassuring him that the inhabitants weren't ready to jump out and attack him. The living quarters of the Ville seemed to be similar in every section he visited. Like the quarters they had been given by the Baron, the private areas were little more than holes in the walls of the tunnels, small anterooms and sectioned basements that were protected from the run of the tunnels by a few scraps of material or a few pieces of old boarding. Not for security, but only for the lowest level of privacy. There was probably nothing to steal, as it didn't look like a rich Ville. But it wasn't poor. The people weren't ragged, the food seemed plentiful, and everyone had been clean. There was a communal shower system where the companions and the Sekhmen had cleaned up after eating and before retiring. And the Baron had hinted that they had some old tech. There appeared to be no particular hang-up from the Baron or from the Ville dwellers about personal possessions. Things that people would buy the farm for elsewhere didn't even seem to be a matter of interest here. There was space, and privacy seemed assured by these flimsy defenses. It was so alien to Jack and the others that it worried him more. Everyone seemed peaceful and happy, yet that smell was driving him crazy as he tried to reconcile it, to trace it. Because he was sure now that it wasn't the furnace that caused the lingering odor. Jack had no idea where he was in the Ville. There had been so many spiraling and strangely constructed connecting passages that he was disoriented. But he knew he was leaving the furnaces to the rear of him, as there had been a minute change in the temperature. He had passed close to the furnaces at one point, feeling the heat increase as the system worked to its optimum. But here, the pipes were more sluggish, the air around cooler. And yet, the smell of charred flesh was fresher and stronger. Raw had a secret, one that promised to be a triple red threat for Jack and his companions. The narrow and low tunnels connecting the different sections of the Ville made Jack feel hemmed in and made his nerves jangle. There was nowhere for him to hide, and no routes for a quick escape if he was discovered.